Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Amen. Amen. Yes. You may be seated. So glad that y'all are here this morning, and just in that freedom as we have escaped the darkness is all I can think of in that, just as we were singing that, how Christ opened the opportunity for us to escape the darkness and to live in that light. That's what I want us to do here this morning, and as we do, we're going to talk about that salvation that we live in and how we, we just don't think about it enough. We don't talk about it enough, just the thankfulness and the understanding of that, because that's where our freedom is. And so that's what we want to talk about today. So glad that you are here. And if you can, I don't think I've ever said this. I kind of just think that you do it, but I know that you don't. On our Facebook page, all of our social media pages, if you could start doing this, ask somebody why we don't have a wider audience. It's because none of us ever like our pages, or none of us ever check into our pages and that kind of thing. And so if you would kind of start doing that, I don't think I'm going to remind you every week, but it sure would be nice if you would. And that just kind of broadcasts to your family and friends and your social circles just who we are and what we're doing. And that way we just have a greater reach. And so would love for you to do that. And if you're watching online today, you've already found us some way, somehow. And so if you would do the same, that would be great. And so here's my expectation today, is that we would raise our expectations of who Christ is going to be in our lives, what he wants to do in us and through us, because Andy Hurst has a great saying that an unspoken expectation is an unmet expectation. Amen? Anybody agree with that? Yeah, and so we need to express our expectations in Christ. And I believe we need to raise our expectations in Christ. And we're going to talk about that. And so, Lord God, as we are here today, I'm thankful that we get to gather, Lord, as a community, as the body of Christ, Lord, as who you've called us to be, as your children, a part of your family, adopted into that kingdom of God that we get to inherit fully. The power of the Holy Spirit that lives fully in us, Lord, that we would just revel in that today. Lord, we would enjoy your presence today. Lord, we would enjoy the glorious and marvelous light of Jesus Christ as we worship you, Lord, as we hear from you, Lord, as we give you our all in all this very day. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Lord, we have the expectation that great things are going to happen and change in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. All the people said joyfully, amen. Y'all may be seated and just kind of stay in an attitude of prayer. Lord, we're so humble to be in your presence this morning. Lord, to know that your Spirit is with us. Lord, that you're ministering to us as we worship. Lord, I hope that all of those words, Lord, that we thought through what we were singing to you, Lord, that praise that we were giving to you, Lord, that you do make a way. Lord, that you break down doors, you fling open doors. Lord, our praises, Lord, just usher in more of your glory. Lord, that our faith rises and grows, Lord, as we, even when we don't understand, even when we feel like that we're in a dark place, Lord, that you, Father, continue to make a way for us. And Lord, I love the phrase, I love that stanza that even when we don't know what the day holds for us, Lord, we know you, the one who created this day, Lord, out of your goodness and kindness. And Lord, you called this day good. Lord, we just need to look for you and follow you. And Lord, and as we have those challenges, Lord, as we run into those challenges, Lord, that we would look to you for answers. And I know there are many questions. Lord, there are so many life circumstances, prayer requests in this room right now, Lord, where we need you. Father, we're so thankful for the rain that you have sent down upon us, Lord, in these last weeks and months. And Lord, Lord, we need more of it. As I always say, not just for our crops, not just for our economy, but Father, to wash and to nourish and to replenish our land. Lord, the aquifers, so Lord, that we just have water to drink. Lord, we know the importance of that rain. But Lord, I pray that you'd pour out the freshness, a refreshing of your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, today as a gentle rain. Lord, maybe even just as a gully washer, Lord, just to refresh us, and Lord, and to wash us, Lord, to give us that renewal of what we need in our lives, and that is you and your power, Lord, your forgiveness. Lord, maybe just to wash away some of those things that we're carrying with us. Lord, so as we're here, Lord, speak to us, minister to us, build us up, empower us. Lord, not just for us, but as Paul says, is to go forward and to do it for others as well. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Christ, amen, amen. You have an opportunity to give today, and those are up on the screen. There's boxes out in the hallway. They're hanging on the wall, and you can put your donations in there. And I want to pray over your money. Lord, as we give today, Lord, I make the assumption that we are giving. Lord, it may be, as I say, by automatic draft out of our bank accounts. Lord, it may be cash. It may be a written check. Whatever it might be, Lord. Father, you call us to give of our finances. Not just of our service, Lord, not just of our prayers, not just of our presence, but Lord, you call us to give financially. And so, Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, because that's what you ask, Lord, for us to be faithful. And as we do, Lord, I pray that you would continue to provide, Lord, that you would make provisions for us as we give, Lord, no matter how much it is, and Lord, no matter how little it is, Lord, it all matters. It all matters to you. In the name of Christ, amen.
So to piggyback on that giving, today is our kids' mission project at Co-op, which is over on 19th Street down by Lubbock High. And we partner with the ministries there. And so when we head back to children's worship in just a minute, we are actually going to be making some backpacks. They will be full. We were able to use some of the money that you guys have given when the kids come around and pick all that up. We had enough to buy devotional books to put in those backpacks. And then between some snack pack leftovers and a little bit more of the money y'all gave, we'll be packing some snack bags to hand out to kids at Co-op that come for dinner tonight. And then we will be serving dinner. If you're interested in coming tonight, we will meet down at Co-op at 4:45. Any age, if a kid can walk, they can help because they can carry something to somebody. And so we'll serve food, serve dinner, serve drink, serve dessert, and all those things. And we want anybody and everybody who can, like I said, if you can walk, you can help us serve. So we will hopefully see a whole bunch of y'all there. And kiddos, we are going to go back to children's worship to work on those bags.
For the adults in the room that are old enough to walk, no matter if it hurts or not, amen. Tonight you are invited to also come and serve if you would like. Just a quick announcement, not everybody's here, I'll send out a text, but our small group will not meet, so we can be there helping if you would like to do that, and so that's downtown. If you don't know where that is, come find me, come find Ashley, and we'll tell you where to go. For that tonight. If you want today's sermon notes, you can scan that QR code. I'll give you just a second for that, and then I'll put a phone number up there as well. So as I've already said, I think we have come to a lack of understanding of our faith in Christ. We have come to a place where our salvation is kind of a given, which of course it is when you believe in Jesus, but also sometimes when we get so used to something, we take something for granted and we stop thinking about it, we stop working through it. Scripture says, Christ says, work out your salvation daily, which means we need to think about it, we need to work on it, we not work on it to gain it, but work on our understanding and our appreciation of it. Now, some of us may have a great understanding of our salvation,
but at the same time, we may not have a great appreciation of it. Let's just use our marriages as an example. After you've been married for 25 years, sometimes you just take that for granted. You have an understanding of your marriage, but you don't really have an appreciation for it. We do that with how about our vehicles? We have a great understanding of our vehicles, but until they don't work, we don't really have a great appreciation of them. That goes with a lot of things, our money, our children, our relationships, but certainly with our salvation. So I want to look at Romans a little bit more today, where we started last week, and to hear what Paul says about our salvation and about that understanding and about our appreciation for it. Because in the first eight chapters of Romans, up to the part where we're going to read, Paul's really laying out to the Romans this understanding of why we need a Savior. Okay, now he's writing to the church in Rome, the new church, the new Christian church that is full of Jews and Gentiles, which means different people of faith that are just now coming to know who Christ is. He's writing to people in the church that are from different backgrounds, different cultures. They have different beliefs. I mean, just think about it. This is brand new for them. This is a new understanding for them. So they're just thinking of old Mosaic laws. They're just thinking of what we would say is Old Testament. They're not thinking about this new stuff, okay? And they're at different levels of belief. They're at different levels of faith. And for some reason, this sounds just like us, that we're all in these different places. And some of us are not even quite sure. Maybe you stumbled in, maybe you stumbled online, maybe you just found this message at some point in the future, and you're just now coming to this understanding. You're just now trying to explore this. Some of us, if Jesus were to show up and we were on a boat and he asked us to walk out on the water, if it was me, I would be leaping off of that boat to get out on the water with Jesus. And some of the rest of us would be hanging on to the edges going, I'm not really sure. And all that is okay as long as we're taking baby steps, right? Remember two summers ago, that idea of just one more foot in front of the other. Just try to feel our way to the new place in faith each and every day. That's what Paul's asking for. And then when we get to chapter 8, where we're going to pick up today in verse 18, he's laying out what we do with all that. What we do with this idea that we need a Savior, what we do with this idea of redemption, what we do to live it out each and every day. And as we do that, it's the benefits of living in the Spirit instead of the flesh, right? It's the benefits of following Christ instead of following ourselves. And it is the benefit of how we can live victorious in the kingdom as heirs of the kingdom. So we're going to start in verse 18. I'm going to read through verse 27. We're not going to talk about all that today, but that's going to be our scripture for a while. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the eagerly awaiting creation waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also would be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only that, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, through perseverance we wait eagerly for it. But in the same way, or now in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints, that's you and I, according to the will of God. So what do we have to think about today? Well, Paul talks about an expectation. He talks about this expectation that we have of what today holds, what the future holds. But I think we also get frustrated with our expectations. Why do we get frustrated with our expectations? I think that's really important, because if you're really searching for God, if you're really searching for Christ in your life, if you're really trying to figure this thing out called faith and the Holy Spirit and how to live this life out, you are going to be frustrated. I get frustrated, okay? I get frustrated with myself. I get frustrated with Scripture. I get frustrated with the Lord. I get frustrated with you. And why is that? Because I have expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, at least the way I want them to be, frustration happens. But what do we do with that frustration? That's the importance of all of this, because what Paul is saying to us is that, yes, life can be, will be rough, right? He talks about these present troubles are a failed comparison to the glory that is to be, but yet, what do we do while we're having this life? What do we do while we live this life? Because for the Romans that he's writing to then, I mean, it was a different set of circumstances. For the church in Rome, they were occupied. They were having this new struggle with faith. There was lots of debates going on about faith. There was the old Jewish laws. There's this Jesus guy and all the different things. And the apostles, they're trying to convince everybody that the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus are he was the Son of God. And, oh my gosh, all these different things. That the prophecies have come true, that prophecies are still coming true for us today. I mean, all of this is happening. And so it was really difficult. And they were living in an occupation, okay? And so for us, just think, Paul's saying, yes, you're having trouble, okay? There are going to be wars. There are going to be relationship troubles. There are going to be illnesses. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be frustrations. There are going to be let down. You are going to fail. Life is going to fail. Your governments are going to fail you. All the different things. The church, right? The human part of the church is going to disappoint you, may not meet your expectations, may fail you, may hurt your feelings, all the different things. But there's more. There's more to come. And remember, last week I said the most important thing we can do is offer people faith in the midst of everything else going on, right? All the life's teachings. But still, the most important thing is Christ and how he's working in our lives and how we're ushering how he is ushering us into eternity as eternity breaks into our world. And so, how about this? When you think about expectations, where are you on the expectation scale? Okay, I don't know what was your expectation of coming to church today, coming to worship today? I wish we could just take a quick survey, but I don't have time for that, and I'm also just a little bit scared for you to say that out loud. I mean, really, think about what was your expectation? Why are you here? Is it out of obligation because I'm a Christian and so I go to church? Is it out of trying to get your family life better and organized and nothing else has worked, so surely the Lord can fix this mess, and so I'll take them to church? My children are horrible. The only time they're ever quiet and sit still is during church, and so I get 45 minutes or an hour of peace and quiet. Or I can just shove them in the nursery. I heard somebody say yes. I mean, what is your expectation? And I mean, I am so sincere. You've heard me say it a million times. If we're just here out of obligation and routine, let's stop. And as Dallas always says, let's go have brunch. Right? Go play golf. Sleep late. Hallelujah. I mean, seriously, we need to have an expectation of what Christ is going to do to our life, because here is the temptation. When we don't have an expectation, right, as Andy Hurst has said, and I don't know where he heard it, but an unspoken expectation is an unmet expectation. And so if we don't say we expect anything from Christ, how are we ever going to have an encounter with Christ? If our expectations are down here, right, And then when those expectations are met, but yet we're a little bit disappointed that they weren't up here, well, we didn't have these expectations. So we need to raise our expectations, because I think that is part of the frustration, because John and Peter, they ran into this. We did this scripture in a teaching a while back. Remember the man sitting at the gate that couldn't walk? Right? They picked him up. Some people picked him up every day. They took him to the gate called Beautiful. He couldn't go in because he couldn't get in. And number two, he couldn't go in because he was crippled, right? And so when John and Peter walked by, he's just asking for money. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm standing outside the church and I know people of faith are going in, and let's just say, as it was for the temple, I know that the presence of God is in there somewhere, and I need a miracle, I want to walk, I'm not asking for money. I'm asking to walk. I'm asking for healing, okay? And so, but what does he ask for? And he's been there for years and years and years. Why did he start asking for money? What day did he get dropped off when he had been there, I'm making an assumption, when he had been there asking for healing, right? And then suddenly, well, I'm not going to get the healing, so let's start asking for money. I'm not going to get the healing, so let's start asking for alms. Let's start asking for blessings. Let's start asking for something a little lesser than what I know I really want and need. Why does that happen? I think, number one, it's age. I think we do this so long that our expectations start lowering. I think, two, when we don't get our expectations met when they're really high, well, I didn't get exactly what I wanted. I didn't get my legs healed so I could walk, so I'm going to go down to, let me just learn to live with it. Or let me just make a lot of money off of it. Or let me just... whatever it's going to be. And so we start lowering our expectations. We start not listening to the Lord. We start listening to others. We stop being motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we get motivated by our own self. We get motivated by our disappointment. Because Jesus, listen to me, I think, pretty sure, let me check scripture again. Okay, I just did. Jesus wants to do more than change your bad day. Jesus wants to do more than just improve whatever's going on in your life right now. I'm not saying that he doesn't want to do that and he's refusing to do that. I'm just saying he wants more than that. He wants immeasurably more than that. Remember, scripture says, when he says, okay, I know you're impressed with all this other stuff that I'm doing, but you are going to do far greater than the things I ever did. That's because he had a different expectation for us. Our expectations are here. Jesus's are way up here. And the only thing that bridges that gap is the Holy Spirit and our faith and our belief. And let me tell you something. An expectation is a key ingredient to faith. Because if you don't have an expectation, how can you have faith? Because that faith and that hope are things that are unseen. We just heard that said you don't hope for things that you already have. You hope for things that you don't know about. You hope for things that are out there. You have to have an expectation. Or you can't have faith. And without faith, scripture says, you can't please God. Ouch. Faith, expectations, belief, all that is wound up in our relationship with God. So if you don't have that, I don't know why we're here. I don't know why we continue doing what we're doing, because remember, if you want to serve the Lord, you have to ask what his expectation is of you. And then when he gives you his expectation, then you say, well, here's mine. Okay? It's not a negotiation. It's just so that's your prayer. I don't know how to live without an expectation. I don't know how to live without an understanding of what Paul is saying, and that's what he's going to work out right now. Because why did you lower your expectation? Not because God changed, but because we changed. Because of disappointment or all the things I've already said. So how do we move through that? You would be so surprised. I know that your expectations get lowered over time because I hear you. okay? I live with you. I hear your questions. I get your phone calls and all that kind of good stuff. Let me tell you how I know that your expectations have changed over time, because even your expectations, not just of God, but your expectations of the church, your expectations of your pastor, your expectations of each other. Okay, this is going to sting a little bit, and I don't mean it as harsh as it sounds, but I'm just going to tell you. You know what the number one phone call I get as a pastor from all of you and have over the years? You know what that phone call is? Law enforcement. My O-line. You have questions about why your kids are in jail? And some of you are laughing and some of you are on the inside are crying. You have questions about speeding tickets. You have questions about criminal trespasses, which I'm glad to answer, by the way. Please continue to call me. I like those questions, okay? But nobody, when I say nobody, I mean nobody has ever called me on the telephone and said, hey, can you pray for me so I have the impartation of the spiritual gift of prophecy? Nobody. Or, hey, I really want to know what my spiritual gift is. Will you just spend some time in prayer with me? Nobody. Right? We do pray for healing and those kinds of things, but nobody prays for the gift of healing so they can go and pray for other people. Right? All of this is because our expectation was here, and then it starts slowly diminishing. Think about, do you know, don't raise your hand, but do you even know what your spiritual gift is? Do you operate in the spiritual gift that you know you have? See, this is what Paul's talking about. We have to, this expectation of hope, right? This expectation of hope is not what we have. It's what Christ wants to do, what he wants to give us in the future. You know what complaints I get most as a pastor? Boy, this is going to get hurtful and tough right here. You know what complaints I get most about? Your comfort. Either in the church or outside the church or whatever. Those are the complaints. Okay? I never get a complaint that we are, in 23 years, right now, Lord, my life would be so complete as a pastor if somebody would call me and say, it's too late, by the way, sorry. If somebody would just call me and say, we are not nearly active enough in pursuing the lost and trying to get people into a relationship with Christ. Not one. That's what Paul's talking about. What are our expectations? That the air conditioner runs? Right? Let me tell you about the expectations right now. When he says, what was that first word that he said? He said, I don't consider these present sufferings to be worthy compared to the glory that is to be revealed before us. I don't know if I have it in here, do I? Oh, yeah. So these are the expectations. Y'all don't even know the things that pastors and staff do. I love this. Y'all think that all we do, right? The joke is I only work Sunday mornings, you know, for 3.5 hours. Some of you think it's just an hour, but it really is 3.5. It's three times as much as you think. This week I get a phone call. Hey, in one end of the building, there's water running underneath one of the bathroom walls. And so I go down there, get there, and it's a condensation drain that stopped up. And so we kind of dealt with that, which really didn't get dealt with, but I won't get into all that. And then I get back over here. Okay, from the central campus, and I get another phone call. Hey, there's the toilets are gurgling. Isn't that a nice one? Just think about that analogy in your head right now. The toilets are gurgling, and we can hear water running. All right, so I go over to central campus. Okay. Isn't that fantastic? That's only 5 seconds of video, but I mean, it really is. I love this. You know what that's after? That's after we thought we got it fixed. These present conditions. See, they don't have any running water for worship today. Not that you have to have running water for worship, but you do if you want to go to the bathroom during worship, right? And I just know Okay, I just know somebody right now is not able to focus on the Lord because they don't have a bathroom that they could have gone to that they didn't even want to use that day because there's a sign on the door that says, we don't have any bathrooms. Right, see, Paul's talking about, would you get some perspective? And let me tell you, this is for me, because when it came to Dallas sent me a text on Thursday, usually we're done with this by Tuesday or Wednesday. He's like, hey, kind of where are we going with all this week? And I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea because this is what I'm dealing with. So I haven't really had time to focus on the Lord because I'm focused on sewage running around my feet. Get some perspective. And then on Friday, hey, where are we going with this sermon thing this weekend? I said, I don't know. You just pick the songs and I'll follow you. And then it got to Friday afternoon, and it was, hey, Sunday's coming. And I said, you know what? I'll just pick an old sermon that I did long ago, and I'll just redo that one, which I don't do. I even said Wednesday, I don't do that. And the Lord said in my head, hey, would you read this passage of Scripture again and get some perspective? That's what we need. See, our frustration with our unmet expectation reduces our faith. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to reduce our faith. What happens when we reduce our faith and we begin not caring, when we begin getting in a routine, when we begin just living day by day as we just know that it's going to happen and nothing changes and we just keep doing it? Decay starts happening. This starts happening. See, for 23 years for me, really since 1997, anybody in here not even born in 1997? Let's make me feel really bad. All right. We've been talking about one day the building is going to start falling down around us, and we really need to do something about it. The building is old, not this building, Central Campus, built in 1955, and another one, that one, those pipes, 1976, and those are cast iron pipes. Who in the world thought it was good to mix metal and water? Cast iron and water, I don't know, but this is going to start happening once or twice a year. Well, we need to keep this money around because one day, well, the day is here, right? See, what happens when we don't maintain physical things? They decay. What happens when we don't maintain our houses and our cars? They decay. What happens when we don't maintain our physical bodies? They decay. What happens when we don't maintain our faith? It decays. And our expectations lower more and more and more, and we begin to collapse. So, what do we do? See, unmet expectations reduce faith, but here's what we need to do. We need to raise our expectations to glorify God. And it's not an immediate thing, okay? It's not that today you say, okay, Jesus, you're going to put somebody in my life that I can pray for, and immediately I'm going to know that the prayers are answered and things are going to be great for them. That's not what I'm saying. I hope that happens. I want you to pray that prayer, but it's going to create some more frustration for you because it doesn't always work out that way. Trust me, I've done it. It doesn't work all the time. Sometimes it does. But the question is, do you have an expectation? Do you have an expectation that Christ is going to show up in your life? Do you have an expectation that you're going to hear from Him? Do you have an expectation that you're going to encounter the living Jesus today? Or is that going to be tomorrow? Or the next day, or next week, right? And then here's what I want you to do, is to have the expectation that He's going to reveal Himself to you as you search for Him. If you're not looking, okay, you may not see Him. So it is a give and take on that deal. You do need to have that expectation. We have to raise our expectations to bring glory to God, because I think this idea of salvation, we have just taken for granted. This idea of what it really means that we are to be a part of the living God is that we have just put ourselves on the sideline because now we're just part of the team and we're waiting for the trophy, right? We want everybody else to do the work, whoever that is, but we're just going to sit over here and say, yay, I got the jersey and we're all going to go to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. This is why I don't sing. Right? But what about what we do in the meantime? That's what Paul's talking about. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. It's not on the screen, but you can get it online in the notes. How do we set our expectations? How high do we set our expectations? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. My interjection is, if you don't know what the gift is, how can you receive it? As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, it's going to be different for all of us. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God might be praised, literally glorified through Christ Jesus. To him be the glory, the power, and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Right? See, if you care for your faith, if you raise your expectations, then God will be glorified, and I believe your life will change. Not like you probably think it's going to, but it will change, and God will be glorified, and new things will happen, and greater things will happen. Maybe greater challenges, I'm just telling you, for those that much is given, much is expected, okay? That's okay, but when we do it, He provides the power, He provides the strength. Raise your expectations, because here's why I think the church is dying. Here's why I think faith is diminishing around the globe in humanity. Because nobody has an expectation that Christ is going to do anything. That things are just going to keep on the way they always are and the way they always have been. We've been waiting for 2,000 years for Jesus to come back, and He's not here yet. Well, they waited for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years for Him to show up the first time. Right? But still, we keep moving. We keep going. And He said, while we do it, let's change. Let's be different. Let's be like Him. The Spirit of God lives within us. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, for the redemption of all of us. Be different. Live different. Have a new expectation. Not an old covenant expectation. A new covenant expectation of power and of redemption. And if you'll do that this summer and going forward, man, life will be different. Life will be different. And I think you're going to go, oh, this is why we come to worship. This is why we gather as the body of Christ. This is why we follow Jesus. This is why we do these things. And God will finally say, yep, you got it. I think that's great. That's what I want to pray for you. Lord God, that's what we need. That's what I want for my life and for everybody's life in this room and watching online today. Lord, anybody that hears this message, Lord, it's not my message, it's yours. Is not to let our present troubles define our purpose. Our purpose is defined by the word and the power of the living God. The word that is living. The word that is changing us. Lord, as we become more like you, as our lives change to look and be more like you. Not the old, the new. Lord, I do pray for our frustrations. Lord, if our frustration comes out of the greater expectations, then Lord, so be it, but give us the strength and the power to work through those. Lord, if our frustrations come out of unmet expectations because we didn't express them, because we didn't have them, Lord, shame on us. And Lord, give us your knowledge. Give us your wisdom. Lord, give us your vision, how to change that and how to raise our expectations to meet yours, to meet yours. Lord, transform us. Transform us. So, Lord, you can use us to transform the world. Lord, that this would be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let it be so today or in the very, very near future. Maybe before we gather again in somebody's life, reveal yourself, break in, show us. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. Amen. Lord, your goodness, sometimes we don't see it, we don't feel it, but Lord, it's there. So reveal it to us, show it to us, and Lord, let us show it to others. Lord, and through it, let us continue just to praise you, Lord, to honor you and give you glory in the midst of our frustrations. Lord, I pray that we would raise our expectations, Lord, to give you more glory and honor. But, Father, even in retrospect, Lord, to give you more glory and honor, but, Father, for us to know that we are yours, and, Father, that you are living in us and you are working through us. Lord, give us your power. Give us I pray that you'd give us the heart to use your power to change the world. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. Amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.